First Baptist, and looking forward to what God's going to do here. Missionaries are special, special people. And God, they're not here just to fill the pulpit or give testimonies. They help the local church to do what God has commanded and commissioned it to do. And I'm around missionaries, spent 20 years on the board of BIMI, so I'm very familiar with missionaries and enjoy being around them. Let's have a word of prayer together, and you pray with me as I ask the Lord to be able to bless what he's laid on my heart today. Father, we thank you so much for this time we've had together. Now we're going to gather around the word of God. It's the word of God that changes lives. And I pray you'll speak to our hearts. Take me as your servant. Cleanse me of any sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask you these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 29, there's a verse that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law is the word of God, happy is he. It's a very familiar verse, a very often preached on verse. It's a verse that's quoted, memorized. It's the theme verse of mission conferences, evangelistic crusades. I've seen it printed on bulletins, over the doors, over the platform, life verse of people. Where there is no vision, the people, that's us, you know, those of us who are breathing, the people perish. Oftentimes the verse is used as a theme to get people encouraged and challenged to be involved in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me say at the very beginning before I start preaching, anyone who's saved, we heard a Sunday school message this morning about the love of Christ. Anyone whose sins have been washed away by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we shouldn't have to be stirred and motivated. There ought to be something inside of us that challenges us to give the rest of the world what God has given us. Well, we have mission conferences and evangelistic crusades to try to stir up God's people to get involved in reaching the world. And that's a good way to use that verse. A number of years ago, the verse became very, very special to me. I pastored for 30 years. I started way back and started a church in a banquet room of a hotel. And so I've never been known as a person who tells a lot of jokes, a lot of illustrations. They tell me around my grandkids and different people, and my wife oftentimes say I don't have a good sense of humor. So when I stand behind the pulpit years ago, some 38 years ago, I made it a point that if I'm going to stand behind the pulpit, let me preach the Word of God, because I believe the Word of God is what changes lives. So when I pastored Crossroads Baptist Church, every Sunday school lesson, every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, I just simply preach the Bible. I believe the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and then He penetrates hearts and He changes lives. I remember a number of years ago, I was standing behind the pulpit on a Sunday morning doing what I've always done. Preached the Bible. I had a heavy burden about some people in the church that I pastored that I needed to see some changes in their life. I looked out at that congregation and I preached the Word of God. I didn't come up with any stories to tell. I don't believe that you preach at people. You give them the Bible and let the Holy Spirit deal with their lives. And as I was preaching and looking out that morning, I saw these people that needed what I was preaching and wanted to see that change their lives. But nothing happened. The invitation was given. People that I thought that didn't need to come, they're the ones that responded. Those that needed the change didn't seem to pay a whole lot of attention. I got in my car at 6 o'clock on Monday morning, headed about 2.5 hours down on the other side of Richmond to a board meeting. And I was talking to the Lord about this particular situation. Lord, why is it that this person didn't change? Why is it that this person didn't respond? And the Lord laid this verse on my heart, and I went back and studied this verse and prepared a message that I preached to the Crossroads Baptist Church about a vision that I want to share with you here this morning. You see, we understand the verse to simply mean, when the Word of God is not known and not honored, the people run wild. In other words, the ones who obey the law are happy people. We understand the verse to simply mean this. Where where there is no proper vision, proper revelation, proper view of the Word of God, no matter how much I hear it preached, no matter how often I read it, no matter how much I quote it, if I don't have a proper view, a proper revelation, a proper understanding of what I hear, what I read, what I quote, what I memorize that will motivate me and stir me, I can have no restraint. I can be unruly. I can be disorderly. I can be ungovernable. I can be slothful. I can be stingy. I can be selfish. I can be stubborn. I can be callous. I can be worldly. I can be unconcerned. You say, preacher, you're saying a whole lot of things. I've traveled all the world, preached in churches of all sizes. Everything that I've mentioned, I've seen in local New Testament churches where the Word of God is preached, where it's quoted, where it's memorized, where people don't have a proper view of what it means enough to motivate and stir their life. If there's ever an area where God's people who are saved by the grace of God need a vision, a proper view of the Word of God, it's when it comes to missions. I need not to be in a mission conference where I hear testimonies or I hear messages. I need to hear something from God that's going to move me, stir me, change me, to realize God saved me for the purpose of getting the gospel around the world. And so for a few moments here, I want to talk about a vision every church member ought to have when it comes to missions. Now, to understand what I'm talking about, I'm not talking about a dream. I'm not talking about something you see. I'm talking about a proper view, a proper revelation, a proper understanding of God's inspired, infallible word that will so stir me and move me that I may be able to go. I will give. I will pray. I will support. I'll do everything that I can to get the gospel around the world. A vision every church member ought to have. You have in the text that was read here, the first one. Here's what I want to do, and I want to go quickly. We don't have a lot of time, but I want you to keep this thought in mind. I'm talking about a vision. The vision is a proper view, a proper revelation of the Word of God that you understand that will change your life. It says, if I don't have that vision, I will perish. The word perish means I can become unruly, without restraint, uncaring, and all the other things that I mentioned. But if I have a proper view of the Word of God, missions will mean enough to me to get involved in every way that God wants me to get involved. A vision every church member ought to have. I want to use, when God spoke to prophets in the Bible, there was no completed Word of God. He gave them a vision. Oftentimes it came as a dream. When they understood that vision, it changed their direction. It changed their life. It got them doing what God wanted them to do. If they didn't perceive and understand that vision, oftentimes it would cost them their life or something would happen. But when they had a proper vision, in every case, you'll find that the prophet who understood the vision, it changed his life. Now, we don't have those kind of visions today unless you eat too much of the wrong food. All right, I'm not talking about that kind of vision. But all of us are holding the Word of God today. And every time I read it, every time I quote it, every time it is preached, God, give me a proper view that you're not talking to somebody else. You're talking directly to me. Help me have a proper view that will stir me to do what you want me to do for the cause of world evangelization. And we want to look at one Old Testament prophet and then two New Testament prophets. They had a vision. And when they understood that vision, it changed their life. And I want to draw a parallel from that today. And this is the vision that every church member ought to have if missions is going to mean to you what God wants it to mean. The first one is the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah was one of the four major prophets. I want you to look at verse number 8, which is a very familiar verse and a well-quoted verse, a well-claimed verse. In verse number 8, notice what it says. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, now here's the question, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then notice the answer. Then said I, Isaiah speaking, here am I, send me. God was looking for someone to go. And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. What we oftentimes fail to understand, before Isaiah, the great major prophet, could say, here am I, send me, the first 7 verses gives us a vision that he had that changed his life and put him in a position where he could tell Almighty God, here am I, send me. How many believe that God's still looking for some people to go? Say amen. Amen. All right? Before we can go where God wants us to go, 7.4 billion people in the world, and God chose people to get the gospel around the world. He's looking in every local church to call somebody to go. But before we go, we need to have a vision like Isaiah had. Isaiah saw something that changed his life and prepared him to go. We find in verse number 1, it says, King Uzziah died. Obviously, he had a good relationship with the king. But when the king got out of the way, he took his eyes off the king and put his eyes on God. Now, here's what I believe that every Christian ought to have a vision about from the Word of God. First of all, I need a vision of self and my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Isaiah had a vision of where he stood with God. Not Uzziah, where he stood with God. If you're going to be what you need to be for world evangelization, every single day of your life, every child of God needs to have a vision. God, where do I stand with you? Not where I stand with the preacher. Not where I stand with my parents. Not where I stand with somebody else. Where do I stand with you? Am I in a position where you could call me and I can say, here am I, send me. Let's look at the vision he had. First of all, in that vision, he became conscious of God's position. Notice what he saw about God. He said, I saw also the Lord, where? Sitting upon a throne. He said, notice the respect for this position. He was high and lifted up. Notice the reverence the angels gave. He said, they were crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Here's what he became conscious of. He saw God, who was doing the calling, who was doing the sitting. He took a look at God, and 2 things he noticed. He was high and lifted up. The second thing he noticed was the God he was about to serve was a God that the angels were saying, he's holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. If I'm going to serve this God, 2 things I must always remember about him. He's where he's always been, high and lifted up, and he is a holy God. And when Isaiah, the great prophet, looked up at God, all he could say was, wow, look at the God who wants me to serve him. Wow, look at him. He's a holy God. Wow, look at him. He's high and lifted up. When he became conscious of that position where he was so wow about this great God. And by the way, he's never changed, never will change. He's still high and lifted up. He's still a holy God looking for people to carry out his work. And when he said, wow, look at God, and became conscious of who he was dealing with, then he was convicted about his own position, and all he could say was, whoa, whoa, look at me. Whoa, look at me. I'm a man of unclean lips that dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. You know what he's saying? This God is so high. This God is so holy. This God is so wonderful. This God is so loving.
All I can say is, wow, look at God, but whoa, look at me. I'm not ready to serve this God. And then you see in verses 6 and 7, where those seraphims takes those coals, place on his lips, is a picture of the great prophet Isaiah being cleansed up enough to be used by God. When he said, wow, look at God. Whoa, look at me. I need something that would enable me to be able to go. And when he put those coals on his lips, cleansed him of his sin, then he said, you want somebody to go? Well, here am I. Every time I read this passage, I wonder, maybe God's not calling some people because we're not wild enough about how holy and righteous he is. We're not wild enough about how high he's lifted up. We're not convicted enough about our own predicament, enough to say, God, cleanse me, empty me, fill me that I might be used. So when you do call, I can say, well, here am I. Send me. Maybe God's not reaching down in our churches, calling enough people, because we don't have people that's ready to be called. We're not looking at him enough. And every time we look at him, all you can say about the God we serve is, wow. And when you look at him and say, wow, look at him, all you can say is, whoa, look at me. And every single child of God, every day of our lives, we need the coals of forgiveness on our lips to say, God, get me in a position in life where I get rid of sinfulness and selfishness and stubbornness and all of these things that keeps me from being used by you to help reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give me a vision. Give me a vision of self, a proper view, a proper revelation of where I stand. God, help me to be in a position when you do call, I can say, here am I, send me. That's the first vision every church member needs to have about missions. God's looking for people. Missionaries are called out of local New Testament churches. When God redeems us, we belong to him. And he looks down at every mission conference, every church service, and says, give me a man, give me a woman, give me a boy, a girl, that will look up at me and say, wow, look at my God. Enough to say, whoa, look at me. And accept the forgiveness and the forgetfulness that God is ready to give us and prepare us to say, well, here am I. Send me. Are you there today? What about this holy God? Is there something in your life that you need the coals of forgiveness? Is there something in your life that keeps you from saying, well, here am I. God, give me a vision. Give me a proper view to look at you so that I can look at me and get cleansed, emptied, and filled that I can say, well, here am I. Send me. That's what Isaiah had. You know, I often thought, if Isaiah, the great major prophet, needed a vision to get him right to go for God, what do you think about us? What do you think you and me every day of our lives? God hadn't stopped calling. God's still looking for men, women, boys, and girls to go someplace in the world and tell this lost and dying world about the Jesus we sing about. Isaiah was that kind of man. What about you? Let's go to the New Testament very quickly. And let's look at another one. In the book of Acts, chapter 9, here's the greatest church planting missionary you'll read in the Bible, the Apostle Paul. He had a vision. I need a vision of self that will make me conscious of God's position enough to be convicted about man's predicament, cleansed by his power, that I might be commissioned to go be used of God. I need a vision of self in its relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had a vision in Acts chapter 9, verse number 3.
And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell on the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth. God, give me a vision of self and its relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. A vision is a proper view or proper revelation of the Word of God. Give me an understanding of that, that I will know what it means to me, enough to change me, enough to have you give me what I need. Give me a proper view. I don't want to know what anybody thinks about me. I want to know, God, what you know about me. Reveal it to me that I can get it right, where I can say, wow, whoa, and well, that you can use. But a second vision, and we're talking about mission, every church member ought to have. Not only a vision of self in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but God, give us a vision of my service through the local church. You know, the local church is not an organization. It's an organism. It's alive. God is the one who established the local church. The local church is where missionaries are called, sent from. The local church is what God uses to evangelize the world. Here's a man, the Apostle Paul. We know the background. The Apostle Paul, in this passage in verse number 5, he had a vision. Several things happened in that vision. First of all, in verse 5, he got saved God's way. In verse number 6, he surrendered to God's word. In verse number 11, we see him seeking God's will. And then the rest of the chapter and all through the rest of his life, he not only got saved God's way, surrendered to God's word, sought God's will, but he served the rest of his life in God's work. He had an immediate witness, an instant testimony, an impact upon others, and spent the rest of his life starting local New Testament churches and was the best church planting missionary in the history. The Apostle Paul had a vision and understood the work of the local church. Would to God that every time a man, woman, boy, or girl got saved and baptized in the local church, God would give them a vision of his or her service to the local church. I need to help my church do what God's commanded to do. And God, give me a proper vision of what I need to be doing. Help me to understand I give it my time. Help me to understand I give the church my talent. Help me to understand that the church needs my treasure. Why? God's commanded, commissioned the church to evangelize the world. And by the grace of God, he saved me and put me in a local church. And help me not to believe I'm doing the church a favor, but give me a clear enough vision to understand had the church is helping me. I'm a better husband today, a better preacher, a better father, a better Christian, because after I got saved, I got in a good Bible-believing local New Testament church. Taught me some things I would have never learned outside of the local New Testament church. Is that where you are? Have you ever had a clear view of what you ought to be doing in and through the local church that so moved you and so stirred you that you came in one day and said, you've got my time, you've got my talent, you've got my treasure, because I want to help this living organism be what God would have it to be. Every church member ought to say, God, give me that kind of vision. Help me not just to be a pew warmer. Help me to understand that there's a purpose. God's
died for the local church. The church is the only program of God. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is where Christ is preeminent. The church was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. God, give me a vision to see that so clearly that it makes the church vital, vital to me. Without that, I'll be a pew warmer. Without that, I'll be a casual attendant. Without that, I won't give it my time, won't give it my talent, won't give it my treasure. But if I had a proper view of what the church is and how God is using it, it will stir me, change me, make me a different person. Acts chapter 16, one more. Paul not only had a vision of service, and by the way, he did it all the way till he was killed. He served the local church. I need a vision of self and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I need a vision for service through the local church. But in Acts chapter number 16, he had another vision. We'll pick it up in verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over in the Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. The Apostle Paul had a vision of service for the local church. Every Christian and church member needs a vision of self and his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul also had a vision for souls and their lost condition in this world. You know what Paul believed? Well, we have a hard time getting Christian people to believe today that people who die without Jesus Christ go to a place called hell. If we could get every church member to believe that when a person dies without Jesus Christ, they go to a literal place called hell. 2/3 of the world have never heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we can get people who can quote the Bible, quote John 3:16, quote all of these verses to believe that those people that don't know Jesus Christ die and go to a literal hell, that ought to move us, stir us. God is not going to call everybody to go to the mission field, but he ought to stir everybody to help reach the world. God, give me a vision that lost people die without Jesus Christ. Paul was so stirred about that until he could literally hear the lost were calling. He knew that the Lord had commanded. He knew that labors were few. And as busy as he was, he thought, I should go to Macedonia because they're calling. The Lord has commanded. The labors are few. And God wants to use me. That's all God wants. God will determine who goes. God will determine who's called. But everybody who's saved by the grace of God ought to have a vision. That could be me. God could be calling me. God may want to send me. God may want me to be praying more, giving more, serving more. Why? Because souls who die without Jesus Christ end up in a place called hell. God, give me that kind of a vision. I'll close with this. We don't have time to look at it. But in Acts chapter 10, there was a man by the name of Cornelius, that had a vision. And they said, Cornelius, go to a house of one named Simon Peter. He goes to Peter's house, and you know the story in Acts chapter 10. He goes up on the rooftop and he has a vision. And he sees all of these creatures. Three times God showed him all of these different kinds of creatures. And he said, Lord, I have never eaten anything unclean. And the Lord says, listen to me. Don't you call something unclean that I've cleansed. We need the vision of self and his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah had that. We need a vision of our service to the local church. Paul had that. We need a vision for souls in the lost condition in this world. Paul had that. But Peter had a vision that I think all of us ought to have today. Peter had a vision where God had to show him in the vision the Savior's love for all creatures. He had to go back to Cornelius' house. The Jews thought salvation was only for the Jews. The Lord wanted to show him that he died for the world. And what the average church member ought to see today, that he died for the world. God, give me a vision that what the missionaries show in their presentation, what they talk about in Africa, what they talk about around the world, the Lord died for all creatures. He loves all creatures. We were creatures and he saved us by the grace of God. Help me never to forget that. And when he went back to Peter's house, to Cornelius' house, Cornelius gathered his family. Many of them got saved. They repented, received the gospel, got saved, were baptized in the local New Testament church. And God shows, I love everybody. I want the whole world saved. And I've chosen the local New Testament church, men, women, boys, and girls, to help get the job done. There's no greater need in the local church today than for men, women, boys, and girls to have a proper vision, a proper view, a proper revelation of what the Word of God says about missions that will move you to do something about it. If Isaiah needed a vision of where he stood with God, we need that every day of our life. If Paul had a vision to show how valuable the local church is, we need that. If Paul had a vision to show that lost people die without Jesus Christ and their calling, we need that. If Peter had a vision to show the Savior's love for all creatures, we need that. Without that vision, people like us will perish. That means we'll die and go to hell. It means we become selfish, stubborn, slothful, stingy, sinful, and a few more S's we could come up with because we hear the Word of God, but it doesn't give me a proper view of what it means to me enough to change me to get involved in God's program to reach the world. Many, many, many men, women, boys, and girls in local churches have no vision. And they're perishing, and few missionaries are being called to the field because people, it's not because people are not hearing the Bible or reading the Bible, just don't have a vision of what it means personally and what a difference that is. Where there is no vision, people, that's us, will perish. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. How many men, women, boys, and girls will say, preacher, I had it. Enough vision of the Bible one day where I realized I was lost and I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and I know without a doubt if I died today I'd go to heaven. If you know that, would you raise your hands for just a moment? I know that. That's settled. Thank you. You may put them down. How many will say, preacher, you know what? God's spoken to my heart. I need a better vision of myself and my relationship with the Lord. I need a better vision of my service to the local church. I need a better vision of souls. I mean, I need to get stirred about souls. I need a better vision of the Savior's love for all creatures. And God's spoken to my heart in some area today. And in your closing prayer, I want you to pray for me. If that's you, would you slip your hands up for just a moment? God's spoken to my heart. Be honest with God. Thank you. You may put your hands out. And then one last question. Is there a man, woman, boy, or girl here today to say, preacher, Paul got saved God's way. I'm not 100% I've been saved God's way. You may be religious, you may be a good person, may go to church, but you never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You're not 100% sure if you died today you'd go to heaven, but you are 100% you don't want to go to hell. You'd say, pray for me. Is there someone like that here? Would you slip your hand up for just a moment? I don't know your name, but I'd like to pray for you. Anyone like that at all? Just slip it up for just a moment. Pray for me. Let's stand together if you're able, and I'm going to pray. We'll have the instruments to play, and Pastor Shipe is going to come in just a moment. But if God speaks to your heart about a vision, why don't you find your place here in an old-fashioned hall? Hey, it's the best way in the world to start a missions conference hall is get a vision of self, a vision for service, a vision for souls, a the vision of the Savior's love for all creatures and understand what it means to you. It'll change your direction, change your life. Our Father, we thank you so much for the local church. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the privilege we have. I'll never understand, as great as our God, who is high and lifted up, a holy God would take people like us and use us to help reach your world. But that's your plan. And I pray that you'll give us a vision that's so clear, so plain, that it will change our lives and help us to be what you would have it to be. I pray for those who raise their hands that they might come and just do what you lead them to do. There be one here that's never been saved. I pray you'll touch that heart today. You have your own way in this service as only you can, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As